Today's reading is taken from Revelation chapter 10, reading through the whole chapter. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives for ever and ever, and created the heavens and all that is in them, and the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, "There will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." Then the voice I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more, "Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, "Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey." I took the scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And our reading today, we've just heard it read, Revelation chapter 10. And this is a reading which asks a couple of questions of us. Whose message is it? What is the message? And then it proceeds to commission a new messenger. Whose message? What message? New messenger. We'll start, of course, at verse 1. And it says this, John says, "I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun and his legs were like fiery pillars." So a reminder at the start there that this is another angel. It's one of three. We came across the first one back in chapter 5. We'll come across the last one in chapter 18. This is the middle of the three of them. And an angel, that is a messenger coming from God. So already the answer to that question, whose message? Well, if it's an angel, presumably it's a message from God. But John doesn't want us to miss this fact. God doesn't want us to miss this fact, so it is underlined several times. This angel was robed in a cloud. Does that sound familiar? Robed in a cloud. You'll remember that earlier on in this book, we were told back in chapter 1 that the Lord is coming with clouds and every eye will see him. And we'll remember clouds imagery used throughout the Old Testament. You'll remember that the glory of God was in the cloud in Exodus and so on and so on. This a very clear message that this angel is of God and the message comes from God. So an angel coming from God robed in a cloud. Yes, robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. And we've already met that here in Revelation back in chapter 4. A rainbow encircling God as he sat on his throne, a rainbow the sign of God's glory and action, the rainbow that was given to Noah as a sign of the covenant with him. This messenger coming from God, the message is God's, his face like the sun, Jesus shining like the sun. We've met that already in Revelation 2 in chapter 1 again. Jesus' face was shining like the sun in all its brilliance. It's what we see at the Transfiguration in Matthew's Gospel, for example. Jesus shining like the sun. This messenger comes from God, his legs like fiery pillars. The fire representing God again in the Old Testament, the fire by night showing where God's presence was so that Israel could follow. And it says in chapter 1 of Revelation that this messenger's feet were shining, glowing like bronze in a furnace. Whose message is it? The message from God. And the messenger's holding in his hand a little scroll. It says in verse 2, it lies open in his hand, open to John, and therefore very soon to be open to us, as it is now here in this reading. And he planted his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the land, signs of God's sovereignty. And he gave a loud shout, like the roar of a lion. Well, God is described as a lion in the book of Hosea, another sign that this is speaking of an angel who brings God's message. And when he shouted, the voice of seven thunders spoke. You'll remember Psalm 27 and the speaking, the imagery of thunder being used there for the voice of God. This is an angel who speaks with God's voice. Whose message is it? It's God's. And it says that when the seven thunders spoke, verse 4, I was about to write, John says, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. You see, God is in control in all of these things, in everything. God is in control, and we know what we need to know, and no more. And when we need to know more, we shall know it. But at the moment, we don't need to know these things that John witnessed. Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. God is in control, this sovereign God, his foot on the sea, his other foot on the land, the one who bestrides his world like a colossus. He is in sovereign control. And the angel swore, by him who lives for ever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, the sea and all that is in that. Again, a statement of God's sovereignty and control. All of these three elements he's in charge of. He made the heavens, the earth, the sea. The one in control is sending his messenger. Whose message is it? It's God's. Well, that's the first question. What about the second question? What is the message? Well, actually, it's very simple. It says in verse 5 that the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. The reminder there, he controls the sea and the land. He is sovereign of all. God is sovereign of all, represented here by this angel. And the angel swore an oath, verse 6. By him who lives for ever and ever, God is eternal after all, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, the sea and all that is in that, God, our creator, sovereign God. And he said, and here's the message, what message is it? It's very, very simple. There will be no more delay. There will be no more delay. That's kind of it. That's the message. There will be no more delay, because you see, there had been a long, long delay right back to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. A prophecy is given. A prophecy is given in the book of Daniel, in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel. And a question is asked, how long is it before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Daniel was talking about the day when God's people, everybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, would be delivered from their troubles. That day upon which some would rise, this is what it says in Daniel, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. How long will it be till these things happen? And that question was asked hundreds of years before, when my granddad was working in India in the 1940s, in the early 1940s. He used to write to his fiancée, that is my grandmother, and his own mother, and it would take 6 weeks for the letter to get from where he was in India back to England, and another 6 weeks for their reply to come back to him. Well, that's not exactly the instant response that we would expect nowadays, but it's somewhat quicker than the question that's asked here, which is responded to now, several hundred years later. How long, O Lord, how long? To which the angel says, there will be no more delay. That is the message. Verse 7, in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, The mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets, including, of course, Daniel himself. That's not to say that when these words are spoken, there will be no more delay. This does not mean the end of time has come, but that process that we will come across as we work our way through Revelation, now about to begin, of Jesus's return, of judgment, condemnation, affirmation, and the end of time and fulfillment, completion. All of these things beginning here in this verse 6 of today's reading. There is no more delay. Let these things begin. Whose message? It's God's. What message? It's this. The end times about to begin. And there's going to be a new messenger. And that messenger is John. And he's going to convey that message, and we are now receiving it and hearing it, a message to us from the Lord. It says in verse 8, "The voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and the land." So this is what John does. He hears this instruction direct from God. He goes to the angel who came from God with the message from God, to take the scroll lying open in his hand, a message that is open to John, and now John, as God's messenger, lays it open to us. "I went," John says in verse 9, "I went to the angel and I asked him to give me the little scroll." That's very polite, isn't it? "And he said to me, 'Take it.'" But then he said something rather strange. "Take it and eat it," the angel says. "It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey." And we remember all of those times in the Bible, especially in the Psalms, where we hear of the word of the Lord being sweet. It's in Psalm 119, for example. "Take it and eat it," the angel says. For to eat something is really to internalize it, to take it in, right down, deep down inside us. It's what we do actually in Holy Communion. We take the bread and we eat, and I pray it tastes sweet. And that is a way of internalizing Jesus Christ and the things he has done in his cross and resurrection, his redemption of the world, taking them as ours, putting them into us, making them part of ourselves. And this is what John does with the scroll. "I took the little scroll," he says in verse 10, "I took it from the angel's hand and I ate it. And sure enough, it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." The word of the Lord is always sweet to the lips as it's spoken. "But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour." Why would it do that? Why would the word of the Lord be sour in one's stomach? Well, says in verse 11, the end of the reading, "I was told, 'You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings.'" And of course, the word of the Lord, when it's preached to the nations, will be simultaneously sweet and also sour. Sweet because it speaks of the salvation of God's people, those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But sour because it also speaks judgment to those who won't believe or accept or trust. It is a double-edged sword, living and active. It is sweet to some and sour to others, and even to God's people, those who will be redeemed when the end of time comes. There is the prospect of persecution. We've heard already in this book from the martyrs of the church, and there will be more. That is the promise. That's not finished yet. There will be more martyrs to come. And since the time when John wrote these words, how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands have died or been persecuted for the faith that they hold? We're not there yet. That process isn't finished. And there will be an amount of sourness in that also. The martyrs of the church crying out for justice. You must go, John is told, and prophesy again about many peoples and nations and languages and kings. It's that same double-edgedness that we've been finding in our readings from the book of Joshua as we've looked at that day by day. Rahab, who's spared. Achan, who is punished, who dies, who's condemned. The word of the Lord is both sweet and it's sour. It depends who it is that's receiving it. To the saved, it speaks of salvation. To the lost, it speaks of condemnation, the same double purpose through and through. So here in our reading today, whose message? It's a message from God. And what message? There will be no more delay. New messenger, John. And these words of John, these words of the Lord that he speaks to us now, they are by way of preparing us, since these times are upon us. We don't know exactly when. That's not ours to know yet. We know as much as we need to know. But very clearly, in this book, and in all of these things, the motto of scouting, be prepared. He's coming. He's coming soon. Will you be ready to meet him when he comes?